You're listening to a Peak Media Production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome in, everyone, to this Monday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is February 10th, and the football season has officially come to a close, and we have a new Super Bowl champion, the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's talk about it. So as mentioned, we have crowned a new champion in the world of football, and it is the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the Chiefs 40-22 last night, and this one was not nearly as close as the final score made it seem. Kansas City had a garbage time touchdown with about 3 minutes left, and then they followed up with a 50-yard bomb from Mahomes to Xavier Worthy. They ended up converting both of the two-point attempts, taking what was a 34-point lead down to a much better-looking 18 to close out the game. But with that being said, this was a dominant performance from the Eagles. They were able to get pressure on Mahomes all night, and they did not even have to bring any extra rushers, and he looked as uncomfortable as I've ever seen him. It was honestly reminiscent of the Tampa Bay Super Bowl just a few years ago. He was sacked 6 times last night, and the Eagles did not even blitz once the whole game. Their front was awesome, and frankly, on both sides of the ball, really set the tone for the night. And you could just tell, you know, when the Chiefs were on offense, Mahomes eventually just had happy feet in the pocket. You could tell he was nervous. He's looking over his shoulder. And it was obvious that it was leading to huge mistakes. There were multiple times when it looked like he could have stepped up into a clean pocket, but he got kind of antsy, started bouncing around, and then ended up getting sacked on plays with virtually perfect pass protection. You can only expect those guys to block for 3 or 4 seconds, and he was getting sacked on plays where it just did not look like he should have. And they could not run the ball at all either. They finished with only 7 designed run plays, which is the fewest ever in Super Bowl history. And they had under 50 yards rushing on the night as well. But then on the other hand, Hurts was fantastic last night on the other side of the ball. He ended up winning MVP after throwing for 221 and 2 touchdowns. And he also had 72 yards and another score on the ground. And they really needed that because Saquon was bottled up for most of the night. He was able to break through for some 7 or 8 yard gains later in the game. But he still only finished with 57 yards on 25 carries, so it was pretty dismal from him, and he never found the end zone either. But overall, I really had 2 main takeaways from this game, and first, you know, was how important the trenches are. I feel like we talk about this at the end of every single football season because that's what the best teams are. They have the best guys in the trenches, but you know, we're about to spend all offseason talking about the flashy signings of the quarterbacks, the receivers, some of the DBs, but the offensive line was incredible all season for the Eagles, and we saw that manifest with the yards for Saquon, the touchdowns for Hurts, and then, you know, the defense did a complete 180 from last season where their front was awesome. They knew they couldn't really bring extra pressure as often as they probably wanted to because of their inexperience in the secondary, but they didn't need to. Those guys were getting home on what felt like every single play last night. So ton of credit to them. And then I think the other guy that also deserves a lot of credit is Howie Roseman, you know, helping bring in the right guys here, putting together this championship roster. And, you know, even though some of the guys in the secondary were a little inexperienced, they played great for them all season. And you look at their first 2 picks from this year, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, they were great all season. DeJean had a pick 6 midway through the second quarter that really blew this game open. You know, prior to that, it was only 10-0, and it felt like we were just kind of waiting on the Chiefs to wake up. It felt like it was inevitable that they were going to come back. But then he takes his first career interception to the house, and suddenly the rout was on. And this kind of reminded me a lot of the college football season at a certain point, because before you knew it, it was 34-0. And this felt exactly like the Ohio State-Oregon game to me. And then a lot of the other parallels started kind of coming to the surface as well. Again, the biggest theme was the trenches, where, you know, both Ohio State and Philly were great. And both teams also showed incredible resilience. When you look at guys like, you know, Ryan Day was obviously much maligned before they went on their run. And so was Sirianni early in the season. People were calling for him to be fired just like Ryan Day. And here we are with both of them ending the season as champions. And speaking of resilience, Jalen Hurts is just such a great story. We mentioned some of his stats earlier, but just what a competitor. I'll admit myself that I haven't always been completely sold on his ability to play the position, but so much of the game is mental, and he is just so mentally tough. When you look at the entirety of his career, even going back to college where, you know, he was benched on the biggest stage possible in the national championship, but they, you know, they go on to win with Tua, but then he comes back the next season, Tua's the starter, you know, he doesn't sit there and complain, just, you know, puts his head down, does the work, and he has to step up in the SEC championship after Tua goes down. They go on to win that game, you know, didn't win the national championship that year, but still showed his resilience, and then the next year he goes to Oklahoma, nobody really believes in him, and he ends up finishing second in the Heisman voting. And he was only second because we saw one of the greatest college football seasons of all time from Joe Burrow. And then, you know, he comes to Philly. He has had no shortage of criticism there. And I'm not even sure that some of the people that believed in him thought he could take this team to the Super Bowl. But now he's done it twice. He won, you know, the second one, and is now etched in history as Super Bowl 59 MVP. So just what a story from him. And speaking of other great stories, Saquon finally gets his ring. You know, he had six pretty frustrating seasons in New York with the Giants, but then he moves over to Philly and he just runs crazy behind that huge offensive line with over 2,000 yards this year. And this is what I talked about a few weeks ago, where I was super upset with the Eagles for sitting him in week 18, you know, where he fell just short of the all-time rushing record. And at the time, I said they better win the Super Bowl to make it worth it, since they were giving up on one of the best records in all of sports. And here we are. They actually did it. They won the whole thing, and I'm sure Saquon doesn't have any regrets today as he wakes up a champion. So he may wish that he has that record like 20 years from now, but I think that ring is going to feel just as sweet in the meantime. But anyway, just to transition a bit, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA. You know, we're winding down here on the first half of the season as we approach the All-Star break. And we got some additional news last night on Anthony Davis during the Super Bowl, where it was revealed that he may miss a month or even longer with a left adductor injury. And this just adds injury to insult after the Luka trade. And frankly, I thought the trade might bode a little bit better for the Mavs in the short term. You know, AD had been relatively healthy this year. He had played most of the games for the Lakers. He was playing really well, averaging 26 and 12 on 53% shooting and over two blocks a game. And I think the West is a little bit deeper, but it also feels more wide open at the same time. So, you know, even though the Mavs are currently the 8th seed at 28 and 25, they're only 5 games back of the 4th seeded Rockets, and they still have the whole second half of the season left to be played. So, you know, there's a lot of time left there. I know Kyrie and Luka got a majority of the spotlight last year, but this is still a very good team overall. And I was excited to see how they could put it together with AD and maybe even make another run at this thing. But that's looking a little bit more like a pipe dream at this point, with AD set to miss about a month with that injury. And now the trade looks even better for the Lakers. Long term, everyone already thought this was an absolute fleece job by Pelinka. And Luka set to make his Lakers debut tonight. And they haven't felt like a true championship contender up to this point. They're currently 5th in the West, but I don't think anyone thought they were going to really make a run to the finals. But now I kind of think this trade is going to rejuvenate LeBron. We already saw it a little bit in their last game where he dropped 42 points. He also added 17 rebounds and 8 assists. And I also think sometimes the effects of great point guards are a little bit understated. We know LeBron is one of the best facilitators of all time, and Luka, you know, has a chance to be regarded in kind of that same realm. And I think he's really going to elevate the play of some of the other guys around him on that Laker roster. And they still have some questions defensively, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see them in the second round of the playoffs, maybe even into the Western Conference Finals, if they're able to put it together quickly. So, yeah, just a nightmare scenario for the Mavs with AD going down. Hopefully he'll be able to return a little bit quicker than they're expecting. But you just got a feel for the fans down in Dallas. The trade was already rough itself. I think, you know, it was a little bit blown out of proportion. Like, Anthony Davis is a great player. I know he's 6 years older than Luka. But they're still getting a great player in return. And of course, he goes down in his first game with them. So, again, just got a feel for the fans down in Texas. But, yeah, we'll see how this plays out. I think it's going to be a really interesting second half of the season. We'll have a little bit of a break here with All-Star Weekend and everything coming up. But I think it's going to be really exciting down the stretch. But anyway, we are just about out of time with this one, so we will wrap it up for this Monday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for joining us, and if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars if you're listening to the podcast version, or subscribing and liking if you are watching along on the YouTube version. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.